chapter 15, then. Page 96. Fifth congregation.
So again, as I said before, I think it's very useful to forget about the congregation. So, and if you forget about the congregation, you see the table there on page 96 at the top, and you see the endings. This is the present tense, right? The endings are exactly the same as the other present tenses. You have the T ending, third person singular. Mm-hmm. He knows, janati, you know. They know, jananti. Janasi, you know. Janata, you plural now, yous know. I know, janami, and we
know.
Y'all know, that's the American version. That's right. Y'all know. And then you have just a bunch of verbs here, just listed down there, and some of these are quite important. Like abhidhanati is quite important, it's to know, but often you have like the verb like abhinya. Abhinya is derived from abhidhanati. It means like, you know, the abhinya, the supernormal powers, basically. Yeah. Ajanati, this is also another verb which means to know again, but it's very, very similar among many of these verbs. This is often more about learning and grasping something. Pajanati, this is directly related to panya, the same verb as panya is the noun form of this verb. Pajanati, so essentially it's related to wisdom, right? Panya, wisdom. Pajanati, he is wise about what he understands. Patijanati is a bit different, it means to admit something, or to agree about something, I think. Certainly admit. Vijanati is directly related to consciousness, to vijnana, the verbal form of vijnana. So it means to be conscious of, or to be aware of, or to discern. And then sanjanati is directly related to sanya, to perception. So to experience, to perceive. So they're all quite important verbs there, yeah. And then you have a couple other verbs. You have sunati is important. Sunati means to hear. And further down you have gamhati, to take. Also important verbs. So basically you're just listing all the verbs here. Ugamhati is also to learn, but it also means to take, to grasp, hold on. Ugamhati. Patigamhati means to accept, to receive something. If you receive like a cloth in the vineyard, it's always said to be patigamhati, you receive it.
And that's part of the
Buddha,
whatever they do, that
lay
people do.
Patikanhati, that's right.
Patikanhati.
Yeah. The Sangha Dhamma, I think. Yeah.
Sangha Dhamma.
Yeah. It's also in the Sangha 18. No, that's Uganheya, isn't it? That's Uganheya, yeah. It's actually, it's in the Vibhanga that we have Patikanhati. Anyway. And then you have, of course, all the other forms of these particular verbs. I don't really have to go through it. They're all there. The only thing that you have to keep in mind here is, for example, for the aorist, it's a bit difficult, because the verb janati, which is in the table on the left-hand side there, actually in the aorist form is anyasi. So it looks very different, actually, from what it does on the other side there. But because the root is nya, and then you have the augment in front, makes it anyasi. And the same thing with the gerund, a bit further down as well, you have anyaya. So keep that in mind. It's actually the same verbs, but they look quite different. The form is very different. Okay, so that is the fifth congregation. That's another congregation, really. Yeah. And then we have dvanda compounds. And this is sometimes translated as twin compounds, because basically what this is, it's just two things together, put together, and you put an and in between. So it's A and B, and in Pali you say AB. And that makes a compound. And there can be many members, there can be two or three or more members in these kind of things. And an example here, on the bottom here, is Chandima Surya. Chandima is moon, Surya is sun. So it's very simple, it just means sun, the moon and the sun. That's what it means. We have Samana Brahmana, which then means ascetics and Brahmins. He turns them around, because it says the second word is more important, and I think that there's very, I don't know why he says that, he doesn't give any good reason for it. In fact, when you look at the next one coming up here, Sariputta Moggallana, it's actually, Sariputta is obviously more important than Moggallana. So I would say that it should be read in the same sequence as it is in the Pali, so it should be Sariputta and Moggallana. Hmm. Pattachivara, bowl and robe.
Well, you usually say sun and the moon, rather than the moon and the sun.
You do in English, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily
mean... You just have to decide when you translate it, which is...
What is more appropriate in English language, yeah. That is right. Okay, then we have negative prefixes and other prefixes. He's just saying here that nouns can be made negative by adding an A in front or AN in front. If the word begins with a vowel, you can add AN. And that negates it. So, for example, kusala, which means good or wholesome, negating it, akusala, it means like bad or unwholesome. Amanuso literally means non-human, but usually refers to spirits in the sutras. It doesn't mean animal, it actually means spirits usually. Avidya is the opposite of vidya. Vidya is knowledge, avidya, lack of knowledge, ignorance. Ananta, anta is something which has an end, it's a limit, so this means unlimited again. And you see the same thing also for the past participles. Vimutta means freed. Avimutta means not freed. Anupanna, not the reason. Adinna, not given. Apahaya, not having renounced. That's a gerund, which also can also be negated. So there you are. So the point here is that almost anything which is a noun can be negated. But ordinary verbs cannot be negated in this way. So if it's an ordinary verb, like we have seen in these tables over here, what they call infinite, what they call finite verbs, they cannot be negated. But past participles and gerunds and all this kind of thing, present participles, they can be negated this way because they are essentially nouns. So that's why they can be negated in this way, but not ordinary verbs. And then you have the prefixes su and du, and these one means the su is anything which is positive, du is anything which is negative. And it can mean a whole range of things depending on the context. So, for example, you have down here, you have subhasita, and that means well-spoken, good-spoken, well-spoken. Dulabha, labha means to gain or to get. Du, in this case, means hard to get, difficult to get. So the meaning actually is something which is difficult, or rare, as he has here. Dulabha, gain. It doesn't mean something which is... badly gained or anything like that. You actually have to know the context to know exactly what it's referring to. So yeah, these word things are regarded as compounds. That probably is in the grammars or whatever. So that is the negation. Okay, so let's move on to chapter 16. Locative case. Now this is certainly a very important case. It occurs a lot in the sutras. It's much more important than the ablative, which we saw before, which is quite a rare case. This one occurs a lot. And of course, as the name implies, locative, the most important aspect of this case is location. If you're going to say that something is located somewhere, like under the table, or on the table, or in the bush, or whatever, you use a locative just to say that. It's a locative ending here, basically. Yeah. So the locative has everything to do with location. So that's why it says here the place expresses the place where, also the time when, and the situation in which an action takes place. The plural is used to express the society in which the action takes place. So for this reason, the standard translation of locative very often is in. In is the most important translation of locative case. Whenever you see the locative, you can try with in. And very often that will actually work as translation. And the plural often can be translated as among. That's what you're talking about here, the society in which an action takes place. So you say among the example, among the Magadans, or among the whatever society, the Kosovans or whatever. That is the first aspect of the locative, and that is important to keep in mind, but there's a second aspect which is also very important to keep in mind, and this is that it is used to refer to something. So if you want to say with reference to something, or about something, or in regard to something, then also you can use the locative, so it's a locative of reference. So this is actually a very important aspect of it. And then you have how to recognize the locative. This comes in the second paragraph on page 101. And the standard ending for masculine nouns is the E ending. It's the standard locative ending. It is a masculine noun singular. E ending is how you usually recognize the locative. And of course, that is the same as the accusative plural. So the locative singular and accusative plural look exactly the same for the masculine and neuter nouns in A. But usually you find that the accusative plural is actually quite rare in the Pali, where the locative singular is used quite often. So usually the E ending will actually be the locative singular. And then you have the locative plural for the A nouns, that's esu, E-S-U, esu. So devesu would usually mean among the gods. And then you have the feminine nouns that we've seen before, the feminine nouns in long A. And that is, the locative ending is either ayang or simply aya. So you can see that here aya again is this kind of almost universal ending that you find feminine nouns. It almost works for almost all the different cases except for the nominative and the accusative. It's very common. You have to figure out for yourself from context which case it actually is. And asu is then the plural. So the su ending is always a very easy way of knowing that it's a locative plural. So you have katayang. Kata is like a talk. Katayang would then be like in the talk, maybe, or during the talk, or something like that. And you have kataya, katasu. And then you have the pronouns. And you have the pronominal endings here on the middle of page 101. So you have yasmin or yanghi, which then means in which. This is the relative pronoun, like it's like which or who. So in which, or perhaps with reference to whom, is a possibility. And yayang is a feminine version here, most commonly found. And you have the plural here, yesu and yasu, feminine masculine. You see the su ending.
How did you say you would translate those?
Yesu.
Well, yasmin,
for instance. Yasmin would mean either in which, or with reference to which.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And you have the idang down there, asmin. That's a similar kind of thing. Again, this would mean in that or in this, right? Idang is this, so you put the in front, so you get in this. And the same thing with imasmin, in this. Okay, so these are just for your kind of for keeping it in mind what they mean. So once you recognize that something actually is the locative, look for the e ending, look for the su ending, or look for the pronominal ending. Sming or anghi, these are all the locative endings. Once you see that, usually you can just put the in front, and the in is what is the translation of that locative. So that is really all there's to it, that recognition, and then the in. In or among it for the plural. Okay, so then we have some examples here. You have Dhamma Ranye. I'll just go through some examples to get you a bit used to how the locative works. But Dhamma Ranye, so Dhamma is like qualities, right? And it's a nominative plural. So this is the qualities, and the Ranye is in the locative of king. So you put the locative in front, in, and then you say king, qualities in the king.
Why isn't it genitive?
Well, that's the way it works in Pali. Yeah. In English, you would translate it as qualities of the king. Yeah.
Right.
But in Pali, it means it's actually in the king. Yeah. Qualities in the king. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense, doesn't it? You know, it's the qualities, you know, it's inside of the person or whatever. You know.
Right? So since we're translating, not writing, I guess it's okay. I mean, it's clear. It's clear when you're reading it.
Yeah.
If we were trying to write it, it would be confusing.
Oh, you wouldn't write it like that. But it's just to recognize it, right? Yeah. This is the Pali idiom. This is how the Pali word works. Right. Works. Yeah. How do you say it in Norwegian? Kongens, kvalitet. Yes, it's genitive in Norwegian as well. Nalandayan viharanto. So viharanto is present participle. It means dwelling. It's a plural. And dwelling in Nalandayan is the feminine genitive singular, so it means in Nalanda. That's very obvious, dwelling in Nalanda, right? That makes good sense in English as well. Rukka mule nisinnang. So nisinnang here is the past participle, means seated. And then you have rukka mule, rukka tree, mule root. And you have the e ending, which then is the locative in. Well, in this case, in doesn't work because you can't say seated in the foot of a tree, or the root of a tree, the foot of a tree.
Mm.
So here it means the location, so it means at the foot of a tree. So seated at the foot of a tree here. Rukamula is a taparisa compound. Devata akase. So devata here is just I'm not sure if that is singular or plural actually. It could mean that he says plural, it doesn't matter. So deities, akasa means like the air or space. So it's like devatas in the air, devatas in space, or in the sky, he has here. Time, tasmin samaye vedana vedeti. So vedeti is this verb which means to feel, it's directly related to vedana. So he feels or experiences, what he experiences, vedana, feeling or sensation. So he experiences a feeling, and tasmin samaya. Samaya is time, right, or occasion. And tasmin is that. So that means that occasion, they agree with each other, they're both locatives, they agree with each other. And then you put the in front, in that occasion, or in English, on that occasion, he experiences a sensation or a feeling. Vasana. Pachime Masi. Vassa here is the rainy season. Vassana is the rainy season. So of, it's a genitive plural. So of the rainy season. What is a genitive plural? Vassana. Of the rainy seasons, quite literally. But no, I'm not sure about that. But basically, it's a genitive plural. So it's Vassana. Of the rainy seasons. Maybe I'm missing something here. Anyway, of the rainy season, and you have Pachime Mase. These are two locatives, they obviously agree with each other. Mase means month, Pachime means last. So they agree with each other, so it must mean Pachime is obviously then the adjective to Mase, last month. So in the last month of the rainy seasons, or something like that.
What would singular be the ending for Vasana?
It would be Vasasta. Vasasta, yeah. I don't know why it's plural, it's strange. He doesn't have any note or anything, he'll translate as if it's singular, but don't know why he does that. Anyway, tasmin yanye naruka chidingsu. So chidingsu is to cut, and it's an aorist, third person plural, so they cut. It's a passive, so it's actually the trees here. The trees are not cut, because it's passive, you would expect the agent to be instrumental. So rukka here is the nominative, and that is actually the patient here of the cutting. So the trees are cut, or they are actually not cut, the trees are not cut. And tasming yanye, two locatives agreeing with each other, that yanye is a sacrifice. So at that sacrifice, but it will pass me on yet, at that sacrifice. So at that sacrifice, the trees were not cut, or no trees were cut down, he has here. Apadasu na vijahati. So vijahati here is to give up or abandon. And it's negative, so he does not abandon or he does not give up. And apadasu here is a apana is actually misfortune or something like that. So this would mean he has here, in misfortune he has here. But it's plural, so it's a little bit strange. So quite literally means he does not abandon somebody in misfortunes. That's what it literally means. So here the plural is translated as in rather than among, so that is an important point. Magadesu viharati, he lives among the Magadans, quite literally, in Magadha. Now we come to an important point, that is the locative of reference. So here we have idang piasa hoti silasming here. So asa of him, and hoti there is, and idang this. So of him there is this, and silasming in regard to virtue. So in other words, of him there is, literally he has, right? So he has this in regard to virtue.
And P is just an emphasis?
P is also. Oh. It's also, in addition, yeah. So in addition, he has this in regard to virtue. Chitta anupasti viharati, this is from the Satipatthana Sutta, you can probably see that straight away. Viharati, he dwells. And Chitta anupasti here is the nominative, it agrees with he. So he, contemplating the mind, he dwells contemplating the mind, and then he has chitta, which means like with reference to the mind. And this is one of those questions, how do you actually read this particular phrase? It's often, you know, discussed a lot, and the commentaries have some kind of way of reading this as to, it's basically saying that
the mind and the mind,
exactly. It basically, the idea in the commentary is that he it's the mind as the mind, not the mind as anything else. And that is how I think they explain this particular phrase. But I think the meaning is simply that he contemplates a particular mind state in the mind. In other words, he limits down his range to a particular subset of mind states within the whole mind thing. So, for example, you know, you have kaya anupasti with reference to the body. I say what that means is that he's contemplating one particular body among all possible bodies. So, for example, if the breathing is one particular body in the body, so that is kaya anupasti. That's how it's actually explained in the Anapanasati Sutta. That's how I understand that. I think that is very.
Ajahn Brahm says, and he says it's an idiom.
That's what he says. Yeah. That's what he says.
That's you don't agree with that? You feel it actually has a meaning that's particular.
I do, because and the reason I say that is because in the Anapanasati Sutta, that's how it is explained. Because there it says the breath is a body among bodies. That's what it specifically says in the Anapanasati Sutta. And when you have that kind of reference in the sutta itself, I would say that's a very strong indication of what it actually meant there. But as Abraham is right, though, that sort of idiom is not uncommon in the Pali, whereby you use a word twice, and it actually, for example, you say he does not cling to the body clinging, something like that. So you have cling in the verb, and then you have it also in the noun together with it.
Yeah, right.
So that kind of double up is quite common in Pali. Huh? So it is conceivable that it is the case here as well. Huh? It looks to me that the sutta does make it quite clear that it actually means a particular body among bodies, a particular mind state among all possible mind states. Anyway, let's move on, otherwise we'll be here for everyone. Dhammesu jnanam, so jnanam is knowledge.
Sorry, you would say with reference to the mind, he lives observing that mind state.
I would say among mind states, or in the mind, among mind states, he dwells contemplating a particular mind state. Or I would say, he dwells contemplating a particular mind state in the mind.
Well, this seems unnecessary to say that, because where else would you see a mind state?
It's just the idiom of the Pali, right?
Well, it's very important, because a lot of people don't realize that mind states are something separate from mind, and that the mind can know the mind states, and that they can set aside and just observe them. I think this is a really good meditation, to teach people to watch their anger and let it come, let it go. So there's a knowing and then there's the mind state.
I don't know if it says that. What is it?
Yeah. Anyway, so the next one, Dhammesu jnanam. So this is knowledge with reference to phenomena. So he has knowledge concerning phenomena, about phenomena, right? So about, concerning, this is reference again. Knowledge about phenomena. Kanka dhamme, this is doubt. Again, doubt with regard to the Dhamma. Doubt about the Dhamma. Kanka dhamme.
Can you say doubt in the Dhamma?
I guess in English you might be able to say that. Doubt about the Dhamma. Normally in English you say doubt about the Dhamma, wouldn't you? He's doubt, or does he doubt the Dhamma? That's what it's in English. Maybe even. Jivite apekan. Apekan is like longing or hope. And jivite is with reference to life here. So hope as regard about life, with reference to life. Okay, and then you have a few more cases here. You have petiketane tapesi. Tapesi is to establish or put. And petiketane here is tana is place, and petike is like father. So it's the father place, or the paternal place, I think is probably the best translation, Peter gets paternal, Tane's place. So he establishes him, or he establishes the, in the paternal place, in the paternal position, perhaps.
Father's place does not come.
Yeah, but the point here is that if you take away the his is not in the Pali. So you have to probably see the broader context to actually see that. So if you take away the his, you have to say established in the
paternal place,
I think. Okay.
I have trouble with this because I don't know what the word, I don't know the vocabulary, so I don't know which word is which.
Well, Tane's place.
Oh.
And Petike is like paternal.
Paternal,
yeah. Yeah. Fatherly, paternal place, yeah. Sati patane supati tita citta. So this is supati tita citta is a compound, and this is quite a complex compound because you have su in the beginning, which means well, patita means established citta, mind. This literally means well established mind, and then you have sati patane. So these are obviously the focuses of mindfulness, if you like, the satipatthanas. So a well-established mind among the satipatthanas, or in the satipatthanas. Passano aham bhagavati. Passano, confidence, or something like that. So I have confidence, or I have faith, or whatever, in the Blessed One. It's like you say in English, in the Blessed One. So just translate the Bhagavati. Here you have a T ending, actually, which is quite unusual, because this is Bhagavant, and the Ant ending, which is the present participle ending, has a T for the locative singular. So I have confidence in the Blessed One. Dhamme pasanna. Pasanna, again, confidence. And this is a feminine here, or either feminine or a plural masculine. It depends on the context what it actually is, but according to the translation, it's feminine. So she has confidence in the doctrine, in the Dhamma. Bhagavati brahmacharya charitva. So charitva is having practiced or having lived. And what you have lived is the brahmacharya, the holy life. Having lived the holy life, Bhagavati, here we have a typical, locative a position, but it's a position which is not physical. It's actually a conventional position or something here. Position by what do you call that? You see, he lives the holy life under the Blessed One, but obviously it's not a physical under. He doesn't actually live under the Blessed
status.
One. Status, yeah, state.
In a state of rank.
Yeah, a rank maybe under the Blessed One. Yeah.
In a position.
Many positions, yes.
A social position, I think.
Yeah. Social position, yes. But it's more of a metaphorical use of the word angry, I suppose. And then you have Brahmaloke Antarahito. Antarahito disappeared, vanished. And quite literally in the Pali, it says vanished in the Brahma world. And in English, it says vanished from the Brahma world, usually. Okay. Okay, so that gives us some ideas of how the locative works. And again, the first try of a locative is try to translate within, and you find that most of the time it works within, and if in doesn't work, try with reference to. These are the two main meanings of the locative, either in or with reference to. And one of those will normally work. Otherwise, you would have to start referring to the standard. So, yeah. And then we have something called the locative absolute. And this is very similar to the genitive absolute that we saw in chapter 10. So it is a noun or pronoun together with the participle, and they stand apart in a sentence and are like a subsidiary clause in that sentence with their own agent and their own verb in a sense. And both have to be in the locative case. So when you have a noun and a participle like that, and the noun is like the agent of that participle, and they're both locative, then it's usually a locative absolute. And this agent is not the same as the agent of the main sentence. In other words, it stands apart and is an independent subsidiary clause or subclause of that sentence. And you can also have further words in that locative absolute, which can be whatever, basically, and they'll be part of that kind of sub-sentence in a sense. So, Yeah, and it's quite a common construction of the locative absolute. So, some examples in the bottom of page 103. You have Parinibbutte Bhagavati Sakko Imangatan Abasi. So here you have Parinibbutte Bhagavati. So Parinibbutte is a locative singular, and Bhagavati is a locative singular. So they obviously can agree with each other, and it can very well be agent and past participle. Parinibbutte is past participle, having attained Nibbana, and Bhagavati is the blessed one. So this becomes a separate subclause, and you can translate it usually by just putting when in front. So the locative becomes when in this case. So here the translation of the locative is when. And then you just translate agent and verb just as it would normally be done, or agent and participle as it normally would be done. So when the Blessed One had attained Parinibbana, had attained Nibbana, when the Blessed One attained Nibbana, or when the Blessed One Nibbana, if you write it in English. So when the Blessed One had attained Nibbana. And then you have Sakko Imangata Abasi. Sakka spoke this verse, right? Imangata, this verse, Abasi, aorist. So that is how it works. You can see here how it is a separate subclause. When the Blessed One had attained Parinibbana, Sakka spoke this verb, this particular verse or whatever. Immasming chapana veya karanasming banyamane sakasa dhamma chakung udapadi. Here you have the banyamane, which is the present participle locative, which means it means speaking, or actually it's a passive present participle, so it's actually being spoken, is what every word means, being spoken. And then you have veya karanasming, which is like an explanation. And that is the explanation being spoken, so that is like the agent to that verb, right? And then you have immasming here, which also locative, agrees with vayakaranasming. So this explanation being spoken. And then you have chapana, which are indeclinables, which form part of the same locative absolute. So again, you do the same thing. You see the agent is the locative, the participle is locative, and you put a when in front, and that becomes the translational locative. So it becomes when this explanation was being spoken. This becomes the meaning of that thing. When this explanation was being spoken. And then you have sakassa dhammacakkum udapadi. The dhammacakka, the eye of the dhamma, arose for sakka, of sakka.
And so there can be genitive or sakassa that's genitive.
The Dhamma Chakkum. Is that not the eye of the Dhamma?
Yeah, I'm Dhamma, yeah. What did I say?
The Dhamma Chakka.
Dhamma Chakka, the eye of the Dhamma, yeah.
The wheel of Dhamma.
Yeah.
I was asking,
yeah.
Sakasa,
that's
genitive?
It could be either, I think, yeah. But, he's definitely the beneficiary. He's the beneficiary of the arising of the eye of the Dhamma.
What's the other one?
Dative, yeah. So it could be dative.
So just recapping here, if there are several locatives, especially absolute locatives, at the start of a sentence,
yeah. It's
probably a subclause.
It has to be, you have to have a participle there, locative, and then you have to have a noun, which is the agent of that participle. Those two things together have to be found together here.
So you need an absolute. A locative absolute participle.
Well, it's not called a locative absolute, it's just called the locative participle.
Okay.
A participle in the locative, and then an agent, a noun, which is the agent of that participle, also in the locative. Right? And those two together are called the absolute. That's where the absolute, or the absolute thing comes from.
Ooh,
getting
cold. Do you want one over there?
No, it's okay. Thanks. I'll probably regret saying no thanks. I shall live to regret saying no thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thanks.
So it becomes a subclause, which you which you translate with
when.
Yeah. Sorry. I knew I was missing something, but I'm not sure what it was.
My Norwegian accent is.
Yeah, it's a word when it's all sure. Muffled.
Muffled Norwegian accent, see, that's pretty hard to understand.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, anyway. So, okay, next page. 104, upadane ko santi bhavahoti. Now this is a dependent origination thing, and santi here is the present participle locative. It's not easy to see that, that's what it is. Just like bhagavati before, bhagavati is also has a present participle construction, so is sati. This is the verb ati. So this means literally in being. Being, in being is what this means. And upadane is the agent here, so that's attachment. So this literally means when being attachment, or if you like in English you would say when there is attachment. When there is attachment, when being attachment, bhavahoti, there is existence. That's what it's saying.
See, if we were had this in an exercise, sati would be very hard to find. But we didn't know what it was. I mean,
pretty difficult, yeah.
Sati.
Yeah. You probably look it up and you think, oh, I mean mindfulness.
Mindfulness.
You get it completely wrong.
Well,
Visampatimhi ramye kalakate rajaputan raje abasing chinsu. So here again you have kalakate, which is a past participle, means died, past participle, and then you have visampati ramye, which is king visampati, both in the locative. So you have agent, and then you have the person who died, the past participle. So that means when king visampati died. What happened then? Well, what happened then was rajaputan raje. Abba Singh Chingsu, Rajaputra, the prince, Abba Singh Chingsu, they sprinkled or they anointed the prince Raja in the kingdom, basically, or in kingship. Consecrated the prince in the kingdom, yeah. So that gives you some ideas of how it works. And then we have the future passive participle. No. And the future passive participle is, first of all, it's passive. That's important to remember. So it means that when you translate it, it translates a bit like the past participle. In other words, the agent will be in the instrumental, and the patient will be in the nominative. And the ending of the future passive participle will agree with the patient, right? So you have the nominative patient, and the past participle, the future passive participle will agree with that patient in the nominative, usually. And it is translated as a future, usually. And this gives you some idea down the bottom here how it actually is translated here. Yeah. So on the page, on the bottom of page 104, you get some ideas here. You have kamitamba, and the way you translate that is you put to be in front. To be walked is what that means. That is a standard translation of the past, of the future passive participle. Or to be gone or to be walked is from the verb kamati, to go. And katamba, that's from the verb karoti, which means to do, right? So what you do then is you call it to be done, is what you do. You put the past participle in there, and then to be in front, and you have to be done. Gantaba, to be gone. Charitaba, to be lived, to be practiced, or must be lived. Sometimes they can have slightly different meanings. Jivitaba, to be lived. Janitaba, to be known. Dattaba, to be given. So in other words, to be given can mean like must be given or should be given. Dattaba, to be seen. It can mean something which is worthy of being seen. In other words, something which is beautiful, perhaps, something which is beautiful.
This isn't imperative either, is it?
No. Yep. Not an imperative.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yep.
I'm just trying to get the sense of to be given.
Well, it to says be, sometimes
a gift to be given then,
yeah,
is like a gift which is has been designated as for giving. Yeah. Yeah.
It says here it can be rather imperative or optative.
Okay, so imperative, optative, and meaning. Yeah, okay, sure. Yep. But it's not actually imperative. It's very rare. I think it means that you are telling somebody. You're not like telling somebody, do this. That's not part of it, I think. I could be wrong about that, so don't take me too seriously about that one. Yeah. Pajitamba. Okay. Used with various prefixes. Okay, whatever. Patamba, to be drunk. Puchitamba, to be asked, a question to be asked, for example. This is a question to be asked of the Blessed One, so go and ask him, right? Bhasitabha, to be spoken, or what should be spoken, and etc., etc. It's all the same, all the way down here, all of these things are similar here. And then you have a different type of suffix, aniya suffix, at the very bottom of page 105. And these, the niya suffixes often have like, they act like adjectives very often. So they become often adjectives. So kamaniya literally means to be loved, in other words, lovely, something that is lovely. And you have, on the next page, you have karaniya, what should to be done, what should be done, in other words, it means duty or business.
Karaniya.
Exactly, karaniya, matta kusalena, exactly, yeah. Kamaniya, to be pleased, pleasure, contented. Kadaniya, to be chewed, it literally means a type of food, right? Foods, basically, to be chewed, in other words, foods. Dasaniya, what must be seen, in other words, what is beautiful. Bhojaniya is another food. Madaniya, intoxicating. Rajaniya, exciting, etc., etc. So all of these are much more adjectival in their meaning. These are also future passive participles, but they are formed differently. They have this other ending. And then you have a third type of participles at the very bottom, towards the bottom of 806. And again from Karoti, you have another future passive participle called Kitsha. Again, to be done, what should be done, business or duty. For example, we talk very often about the Kitsha of the monks, and the Kitsha of the monks, like the Pupa Kitchan, right? But was like, right, the Pupa Kitchan. These are the duties beforehand. Pupa means before duties, prior duties, literally. Preliminary duties, yeah. Deya, to be given. Paya, to be drank. Bamba, capable, able to. Labba, to be obtained, etc. So again, the way you recognize the future passive participle usually is the double B ending of page 105. That's how you recognize the present participle. So when you see double B at the end of a word like that, straight away you think, okay, translate to be, and then the past participle, or whatever that word actually is.
Yes. This word, karitaba,
yeah.
That's another, it's causative, but what tips you off that it's causative? I mean, and then there's another one over there.
Where are you now?
Oh, down at the end, bottom of 105.
Oh, yeah.
It has several causatives.
Yeah. Well, it is, you have the E there, right? Karetaba. The E is what gives it away as causative. Because it's karoti is actually the name. There's an O in that word. The simple future passive participle, which is not, in other words, a non-positive one, is found on page 104.
Right, I know.
Yeah, that's
karetaba.
Yeah, that's what it should, yeah. That's the right way to go about it. So you can see it has the R and the E there. And the E in particular is what gives it away as causative.
The R and E?
Particularly the E. The E is really what gives it away, yeah.
Karitabha.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the other ones don't have that. It's just that one.
The other ones don't have what?
The other ones in the following it, Katabha.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
E,
right?
It's the E. Yeah, the E, yeah. Bhavet Tabha, the E is the one which is a causative.
Yes.
Yeah, causative thing. Yeah. Okay. So, some examples on page 107. Tevo Bhavet Tabha. So, Bhavet Tabha is a nominative plural, and it agrees with Te. So, Te is they. So, literally, Te and they means they are. To be developed. So Bhavetava means to be developed, and they, and then it's an equational sentence, so they are to be developed. And vo means then by you.
What is vo? I couldn't figure out what it was.
Vo is a, it's in the table here, if you look under the pronouns, it's in here. If you look on towards the in the middle pronoun column, towards the just below halfway, you see the vo down there. Actually, two thirds down, you see the vo in the plural.
Yeah, okay. It's by you.
Yeah, it has all kinds of meanings. It can mean, it can be accusative, it can mean instrumental, it can be genitive, ative.
Okay.
Can you find it somewhere, man?
No, but it'll take me too long. Yeah, I just don't know exactly what.
Someone's at you. No, you have to go to the pronoun table.
Oh.
Pronouns. Pronoun down there. No, that's te, sorry. Where are we now? Vo, no, vo. Gee, what's happened to this table here? Declension. Is it?
No, it's not a declension.
This looks different from what. Oh, there you are. There it is. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Looks like you've lost something there. You've lost the whole column over here.
Oh.
Something fell over there.
Maybe not. It's a different table than the one we have.
It looks different.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. It's the same.
Not really. It's something different there.
Yeah, it's a different generation or something.
I think so, early generation. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Tupo katabo, katabo, to be made, and tupo is a stupa, right? So tupo agreeing, so again they agree with each other. So here you have, remember it's a passive thing, so tupo is the patient here. So to be made, what is to be made is a stupa, it's the patient. So a stupa, to be made. A stupa which is to be made, or a stupa is to be made, etc. It's just an equational sentence really, A is B. If you saw the larger sentence, it might have something maybe me in there, like by me. So a stupa to be made by me might have been the more full sentence. Imina pariyayena vedittabang. Vedittabang is the verb vedeti, to understand or to know. So it is to be understood or is to be known. And imina pariyayena is like by this, through this method or through this course or in this way. So it is to be understood. In this way, yeah. It should be understood in this way. Katang patipajitabang. Patipajitabang is to practice, behave, practice the path, or should be practiced. And katang is how. How should it be practiced? How to be practiced, basically. Yeah, okay. And some more examples. Mango gantabo hoti. Gantabo, to be gone, agrees with mango, so the path is to be gone. And then hoti just says is again, so the path is to be gone. That's really all it means.
Path is to be what? Gone?
To be gone. To be gone, yeah. The road is to be gone. The road has to be travelled, he has here, as his translation. Yeah. The road to be travelled. Mago come gantabo bavisati. So again, gantabo, the path is to be gone by me. Me is by me. And then you have will be here. So you have to add that one in there. So the path will have to be gone by me, or something like that. Have to be traveled by me. Nanghi kenachi upasam kamitabo. Kamitabo is to be approached. This is approaching or going to. And kenachi is means like by anybody, right? This is the pronoun we had last time, the indefinite pronoun, the chi ending. So it means by anybody. And na anghi, I am. So I am not to be approached by anybody. That's not very easy one, but that's what it means. Yeah. Upasam kamitabang manyeya. Upasam kamitabang, to be approached again. Manyeya. He does not think, or he does not think, or he may not think, rather, optative, he may not think to be approached. It is to be approached, or it should be approached. He does not think it should be approached.
It's not negative.
He thinks it should be approached. Sorry, you're right. Yeah, quite right. Yeah. And then we have adjective here. This is a future passive participle acting as an adjective. Ramaniyo pabato, a delightful mountain. And as a noun, you have pure vachaniyan pacha avacha. What is to be said, vachaniyan? What is to be said first? He said avacha, afterwards pacha. What should be said first, he said afterwards. You said last what you ought to have said first. Okay, so that is the future passive participle, and again, it's not that hard to understand. Just recognize it by the abba, A-B-B-A ending. then the Swedish and data. And then just translate with to be and then past participle and your business. Tabba. Gantamba. Okay? That's all there is to it, really.
On that last one, is there just one participle? Or is there both?
One, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Vachaniyam. Right?
Mm. Exactly, yeah. Vachaniyam is the past verb.
Yeah. What ought to be said first? So
what is should be said, right?
What should be said is forgot what they're called.
It's quite
specific. Ah, you mean optatives?
Yeah. That's what it is, an optative.
No, it's an optative. It's a future passive participle.
But no, I mean the vacha.
Avacha, aorist. Aorist, yeah. He said it. Third person singular said it.
Should be said first, was that?
Yeah, said afterwards. Patsha avacha, said afterwards.
I see they reverse the order.
Yeah, precisely. That's why it's confusing. Yeah.
Okay,
then we have another class of compounds. So far you have seen the Taparisa compounds, which is basically two nouns together, and they are conjoined through what's it called? In English, you call it a
preposition,
right? A preposition. And then you have the Vanda compounds, which are joined by an and, that is basically A and B. And then this type of compounds, the Kamadaya compounds, they are compounds which are basically adjective plus noun. So this is an adjective and noun compound. So it's adjective and noun coming together. So in this case, if you divide the compound up, then both words would have the same case ending, right? That's what is the idea of adjective and noun. They have the same case ending if you divide it up. So, for example, you have akala nego. Akala means the wrong time, and nego is cloud. So wrong time cloud, quite literally. A wrong time cloud. So a cloud at the wrong time.
Is that an idiom?
Untimely cloud. Out of season cloud. Because in India you have the monsoon season, right? That's when you have all the rain, and then it doesn't rain very much.
Well, I thought it had a symbolic meaning.
No, I think
it just means that.
Yeah. Oh. This all means, yeah. Usually things are pretty straightforward. It can also be two, it doesn't have to be adjective and noun, it can also be two nouns, but the two nouns refer to the same thing, right? That's the point here. So it is noun, another noun, which then, and one noun, and then another noun, which is in opposition to the first noun. In other words, they refer to the same thing here. Mm-hmm. So akala mego is obviously the same, both words there refer to the same cloud, right? It's an untimely cloud. And you have Rajisi. Rajisi is Raja plus Isi. Raja is king, Isi is sage. So Rajisi is literally the king sage. Again, it refers to one thing. I think that is probably the most accurate way of describing the Kamadhara compound. The compound with both, all the elements refer to the same object. In the Taparisa compound, the two elements refer to separate objects. So that is one way of looking at it. Adhamma karo. Karo is doing, acting. Adhamma is like non-dhamma acting. So it's like inappropriate or unlawful. He has it. Unlawful acting. Yeah.
Sangha ratana.
That is Taparisa. That's the jewel of the Sangha.
Oh, the Sangha.
So that refers to two different things, right? The jewel and the Sangha.
Because they have wheel jewel here, like Chakara Ratana.
So this is, here, it can be interpreted as the wheel, which is like a jewel, which is like a wheel.
Okay.
And then you have one more thing on page 109, and that is the pe. The pe is means etc. in Pali. Yeah. So when you see a pe reading a text, it means etc. and so on. So in other words, it's the repetition of the previous phrase, basically. Might only be a small change, like one word change, and that one word which changes is kept in, and everything else is just paid. That's usually how it works. Okay, now. End of story.